You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
All across Wisconsin from Civic Media, this is Up North News Radio. Now, live from our Lake Wissota studio, here's the founding editor of Up North News, Pat Breitlove.
Hey there, Wisconsin. Good morning. It's 6:06 on this Wednesday morning, April 16th, 2025. It's another beautiful morning to have you here up north, live from Lake Wissota, from wherever you're listening across the Civic Radio Network or on the app, watching us on Facebook or YouTube, catching us on demand by podcast. We thank you for starting your Wednesday right here. I got a question for you. Spring? That's my question. Just spring? Question mark? Where? Where? People want to know. Look at these temperatures. It's 24 here on Lake Wissota right now. The low in the state is in Hayward. It's 19. Hayward's at 29, Wausau 30. It's 24 in Rapids, 31 in La Crosse, 33 in Green Bay, 28 in Madison, and 33 degrees throughout the Milwaukee area. So somebody's above freezing, but it's April 16th. So again, the question is valid. Spring? Brittany Merlot will be here with forecast details in a bit. The state forecast for today, she says spring weather is settling in. Liar. Sunshine today, followed by some soaking rain and storms to end the week, which I would add parenthetically is going to be annoying, but so badly needed. Mostly sunny and seasonal statewide today. Highs in the mid-50s up north to around 60 in the southern part of the state. South winds at 5 to 10 miles an hour for tonight. Partly cloudy. Lows in the mid-30s up north, 40 in the south, a southeast wind at 10 to 15 miles an hour. And again, Brittany will be here in 1 hour to tell us more about the forecast. Let me tell you more about the show today. It's Wednesday, so Melissa Baldoff will be here. We'll do our climate check. And we're going to do a bit of a time warp here because something caught our attention, and it was an article about how a recent law in Wisconsin that passed the legislature unanimously helps protect wetlands and could be a bipartisan model for the rest of the country, according to this article. I think it was in the New York Times. And I thought, well, that's really odd because it reminds me that when I ran for legislature 20 years ago, there was a much different view of wetlands from one side of the aisle. And a changing climate has certainly helped matters, helped people appreciate the value of wetlands. They're not just there to be, you know, filled in willy-nilly. They're not wasteland. So we'll talk to Melissa about that coming up. In our second hour, we'll talk to Robert Craig of Citizen Action and Heather Dubois-Bornon from the Wisconsin Public Education Network, two among many, that are doing what I would call lobbying with a lowercase l, getting, you know, their members and getting the general public to lobby their legislators to basically push for their priorities. What do you want to see in the state budget? Because it's tempting to say, well, Republicans control the legislature, and so, you know, it doesn't do us any good to lobby them on this or that. I would lead you back to the aforementioned topic of wetlands, that viewpoints evolve. Minds can be changed, but you have to make your case. And sometimes you have to make your case repeatedly and sometimes for years. Look at gerrymandering. Some of us recognized right away back in 2011 that those new maps were gerrymanders. We could not get anybody in the mainstream press to acknowledge that. They said, well, they can just draw the lines however they want. It took years. And finally, people understood, hey, those folks were right. These maps are rigged. But sometimes you just have to come at it again and again, and that's what Robert Craig and Heather Dubois-Bornon are going to do, talking about their positions and priorities on the state budget. And again, that'll be around 7:30 or so. Tomorrow on the program, we have Joe Sopecki as usual, but he will be at a different time tomorrow. He'll be at 7:05 tomorrow morning, and he'll be joining us live and give us an update on something that he's been considering. As you know, he's one of the people who has either announced or is thinking of announcing a run for chair of the state Democratic Party. And so Joe is going to join us live to tell us a bit more about his thoughts at 7:05 tomorrow morning. So in his usual spot at 6:30 tomorrow morning, we'll talk to Kurt Ravenwood. He is the producer of a movie called Hundreds of Beavers. I interviewed him a day before yesterday when I was filling in for Maggie Dawn, and we'll play back highlights of that interview. And we will also have Emily Berge from Eau Claire, who, again, we'd said we were the first ones to tell you that Emily Berge was officially exploring a run for Congress. Well, she has now made that announcement. She has released the announcement video, which seems to be the way that many candidates announce their campaigns now. And then, you know, you do the interviews and the press tour afterwards. And so Emily Berge will join us to talk more about her newly launched campaign for Congress in the 3rd Congressional District. She is the second Democrat, along with Rebecca Cook, to announce that she's in the race, hoping to unseat Derek Van Orden next year. So much coming up today, and then again tomorrow. And as Greg Bach joins us from Radio Park in beautiful Racine, he reminds us, if you missed it yesterday, when I mentioned the movie Hundreds of Beavers, which I'd never heard of until this producer was sitting right in front of me 2 days ago for the interview. But I mentioned Hundreds of Beavers, and Greg right away just pops up like a, you know, like a gopher out of
like
the holder, a little prairie dog, going, "Beavers? Hundreds of Beavers?
Yes.
You know this movie."
I love this movie. This movie is fantastic. It is a beautifully shot homage to old Hollywood films. Like, I'm talking 1920s films.
Yes. When Maggie was under the weather and they said, you know, "Can you fill in? And here are the guests and this guest and this person," and it's a silent movie. I'm like, wait a minute.
Yeah.
I'm interviewing somebody about a silent movie on the radio. And I mean, by the end of the segment, I was completely hooked. I'd seen the trailer for it. It's a weird combination of like Buster Keaton, Charlie Chaplin, mm-hmm. with the Zucker Brothers and other slapstick movies that you've seen, but also some digital editing tricks that, of course, you didn't have back 100 years ago.
Yeah, it's a wholesome movie. It's a fun movie. I was talking to Luke Mathers about this yesterday, and I said, you know, when I first started watching, I'm like, what is this? This is weird. How long is this? Okay, cool. And then by the end, I'm like, this is great. I love it. This is so, it's just fun.
It's Napoleon Dynamite for 2025, kind of.
It's got that feel where
it's that, like, you're looking at, like, what is this? And then you like it later.
Yep,
you
know? Totally.
Okay. All right. So and it is, by the way, available streaming on lots of services, including Tubi, I believe, and YouTube. In those cases, you have to watch ads. To not have ads interrupt the movie, you can get it on iTunes or Amazon. In those cases, you have to pay a little bit to rent the movie, but at least that way the people who made the movie get paid a little bit for the movie.
Rent the movie. Pay.
Rent the movie instead. I for one, am in favor of artists and journalists and others being compensated for their work.
Yeah.
Radio producers, we're still working on. Greg's eventually going to get paid for this.
I just live under the desk.
Heck of an internship, you know?
I do it for room and board. They just throw me some vittles, and I sleep under the desk, and I'm good.
The thing is, you could. I've been down there. I've seen that place.
It's huge.
Lots of rooms.
Oh, yeah.
It reminds me of when Grey's Anatomy first went on there.
Yeah.
Years, but it really connected with Sherry, of course, talking about those early years of your medical residency. And there was a character in there who basically lived at the hospital, and I think it was for financial reasons, but you work so many hours at the hospital anyway as a resident that you practically live there. Well, Sherry actually did that for a time. There was one rotation that was just so time consuming that it was easier for her. She too went and just found an empty room, you know, in part of this massive hospital complex where she was having her residency training, and essentially lived there. So if you told me that you one day discovered an extra room down there at Radio Park, and that, you know, all this time one of the Racine staff had been living there, I'd be surprised.
There's a couple of rooms where all I would have to do is close the door, and no one would know I would be here for weeks.
Yep.
Yeah.
I like how I'm expecting you now to go across the hall to Don over there. Is that you? Is that is that your toothbrush that I saw in the bathroom?
there are smudges on the mirror. I told you your job was to clean the kitchen.
And some radio, some small radio stations are like that. My first job was at WBKV in West Bend, or no, not W, I'm sorry, WAQE in Rice Lake. And it was in what was once a house, or at least it could have been a house, and a kitchen, and, you know, complete with moldy milk in the fridge, because radio folks are notorious for not exactly cleaning out their kitchen when they Gross. Leave the food in there for too long. Yeah, yeah. We've all worked in all kinds of facilities, and some better than others. Let's look at sports at 6:16 right now. The Brewers have won their game against Detroit in game two of a three-game series. It ended Milwaukee's three-game losing streak, beating the Tigers 5-0, thanks to Rhys Hoskins breaking out of his early season slump. Quinn Priester and four relievers combined on a one-hitter for the Brewers, which begs the question, who's Quinn Priester? Apparently one of our new pitchers. We picked up another one yesterday as well. Don't ask me his name. But we've had so many pitchers get injured. Logan Henderson has been recalled from AAA Nashville to beef up a pitching staff that continues to be. So I feel like we're going to play a game sometime in the next week or two. I feel like we're going to do Brewer pitcher, not a Brewer pitcher. And we're just going to throw some random names out there.
Brewer pitcher or just some dude.
Just some dude, yes. Or Brewer pitcher or member of Soul Asylum or some other band.
Wow. You know?
Yeah. Anyway, so Quinn Priester, in his second start since the Brewers acquired him from the Boston Red Sox, he held the Tigers. He had a no-hitter through five innings. This new pitcher that I don't know had a no-hitter for the Brewers through five innings. Then in the sixth, he allowed a leadoff double and departed the game. At that point, he had struck out four and walked only three. So then four relievers, Jared Koenig, Abner Uribe, Nick Mears, and Grant Anderson, the four of them did not allow any Detroit base runners the rest of the way. One base runner, one hit for that game. The Brewers and Tigers wrap up their series this afternoon at American Family Field. 12:10 is the first pitch, which means that you can hear pregame coverage starting this morning. 11:35 this morning on Civic Media stations in Richland Center, Oshkosh, Racine, Kenosha, Park Falls, and Hayward. Head over to the Civic Media website to learn a bit more. Anyway, that game at 12:10, Jose Quintana is pitching for the Brewers this afternoon. He had a great performance late last week. And then the Brewers are off tomorrow before they start a three-game series still at home against the West Sacramento Athletics. We will pause here, take a look at what's new out there in the world. If you're a fan of due process and the Constitution, the answer's nothing good. We'll give you an update after this, wherever you're listening across Wisconsin on this beautiful Wednesday morning. When you're here, you're up north, live from Lake Wasota on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
I mean, I just got to say the words Dusty Springfield. That's all I got to say. People go, yeah, yeah, that voice.
Is she any relation to Buffalo?
No.
Oh, okay.
No, her birth name was Mary Isabel Catherine Bernadette O'Brien. She was born this day in 1939 in North London, passed away far too soon in 1999. But that, of course, was her biggest hit, Son of a Preacher Man. But she had many others. And then you didn't hear from her for a long time. And then she was on a Pet Shop Boys record.
Yep.
Which blew me away. Like, is that? I know that voice. Yes, it was her. So, God love her. Dusty Springfield, born this day in 1939. Have you ever been to a summer camp? Like an organized summer camp?
Not as a participant, as far as, like, you know, I'm going to camp. I was a camp counselor, a summer camp counselor for 2 years. Two summers.
You were?
Yeah. Let me clarify.
Okay.
It was a facility that held summer camp programs. Like, 1 week was different from the next, mm-hmm. but it was week by week I was a summer camp counselor.
Okay. Did you have like one particular duty or one thing that you taught?
Make sure the
like
kids
that?
Do not die.
Yes, no, that works. That's a very important duty.
So my job was really to facilitate. So like every week was themed. So 1 week was soccer camp, 1 week was music camp, 1 week was this, 1 week was that. And my job was to make sure that the facility activities happened. So if we were going outside, if we were going on a field trip, meals, making sure the kids get to bed on time, that sort of thing, you know, that was my job.
Okay. Let's see. Alicia writes on YouTube, I went to Spencer Lake Bible Camp and Lake Lundgren as a kid and a teenager. And of course, Eagle Scout Luke Mathers chimes in and says, this Eagle Scout has been to camp. We know, Luke.
Yeah.
We know. You're an Eagle Scout.
You're an Eagle Scout. You built a camp, probably. You're like, you know, it's not that hard.
With his bare hands and like a bandana. He used his bandana to take down a tree.
Yep.
You know, if you friction is enough, that'll take it right back down. The reason I ask is that in our daily newsletter today, there is a story from Christina Laurie about summer camps and their 150-year history in Wisconsin. Nowadays, they have found a way to integrate modern technology alongside some of the typically taught leadership skills. And she highlights four particular Wisconsin camps that are as active as ever. The other type of summer camp from northern Wisconsin is basically it's you'd be hard pressed to meet somebody from a Jewish family in Minnesota, Wisconsin, Illinois, and maybe a couple of other states that did not have somebody in the family at one point that attended one of a couple of different camps up north. And there's this fondness for northern Wisconsin as a result of that. I didn't do any organized camp in Wisconsin. Growing up in St. Paul, if you were one of the people in your school safety patrol or your police patrol, whatever they called it at the time, safety patrol, you could go to a camp up near Brainerd that was created by the American Legion, and it was called Legionville. And you go up there, and again, all the usual leadership things and some safety courses, and it was outstanding. And my daughters have been to a Girl Scout camp up here in Chippewa County. Was it Girl Scout or church? Church camp, I'm sorry. So there's just a lot of great camps out there, but I feel like they're not getting talked about enough that maybe more people should know some of the options. So I'm glad to see that article in the newsletter today. Tony says, I love technology, but camping is tents and no electricity. Otherwise, it's lies. No, Tony. No, you can be out there in the woods with some of your modern faculties and still appreciate nature, because you can still work on a computer and then go take a canoe ride.
No, so you said what? Did you just hear yourself, Patrick Ilyanovich?
What?
Grilo?
What?
You can work on your computer? No, you're camping. You should put it all away. You can. Yes, you're right.
There's a difference between camping and summer camp.
Okay.
We're talking about camp, not camping.
Well, I felt like I'm addressing what Tony's talking about here.
Okay, you're right. He does say camping is tense and oak. Yes.
Yes.
That's true.
Yes.
And then for the rest of us, there's glamping, where there'd better be a 64-inch monitor inside my tent, because I can't miss the game, you know. But that's just me. So again, summer camps, not so much the camping, is part of today's newsletter. Sign up for it over at upnorthnewswi.com. One note about due process, it is still taking it on the chin here in the United States in this new era where a dictator in training is working to placate the courts to the extent that he does not have to follow the Constitution or due process. A federal judge, Paula Zinnes, scolded the Trump administration on Tuesday, according to the New York Times here, for dragging its feet in complying with a Supreme Court order that directed the White House to facilitate the release of a Maryland man who was wrongly deported to a prison in El Salvador last month. All right, that's the news jargony way to say it. The way I would say it is, how is this still a thing? This is the disappearing of an individual who had already been protected by a court from deportation for his own personal safety. A court of law, had set this up. It is not in the range of power for a president or a Department of Justice or Homeland Security or ICE or anybody to do anything with that person that runs counter to that court offer. Why is this still going on all this time later? And it's going to continue. This judge has issued some stern words and now says she's going to launch a two-week inquiry into whether anybody in the Trump administration did anything to bring Kilmar Armando Abrego Garcia out of that concentration camp in El Salvador. But why is it taking 2 weeks? And yes, I said concentration camp, okay? A prison is where you're sentenced by a court for a crime that you have committed. This is not what that is by any stretch of the imagination. I get that judges are busy. I get that court calendars are full. I also understand the rule of law. And if you've learned nothing from Donald Trump by now, it's that he will run out the clock. He will run out the calendar unless justice is swift and sure. This is somebody who, like so many other refugees who come from this country, come from there and they can't go back there. For those who would be like, well, he's from El Salvador. Now he's back there. Yeah, like so many others, going back there would be a death sentence. Still might be. Maybe already was. For all we know, because of a president who wants to start with him, but who knows where that ends in terms of his power to disappear people into concentration camps in other countries. Climate Check is next. You're up. It's electric. Hey, on this Wednesday morning, it's time for our weekly Climate Check with Melissa Baldoff. Going to start with some interestingly good news. For a change. And then, of course, we have to get to what the Trump administration is doing bit by bit to ruin everything. But good news first. Melissa, hi, how are
you? I'm doing okay. How about you?
I'm doing well, especially with this first story that we're going to be talking about that you brought to my attention from the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. Madeline Heim and Caitlin Luby put it together. The headline says, "Seeing wetlands as a flood solution drove bipartisan support in Wisconsin. Why not elsewhere?" And Melissa, I'll let you take the first part, and then I'm going to do the backstory because it wasn't always seen as a bipartisan kind of solution, but it's there now. So what? Tell us more about the article and the current state of seeing the value of wetlands.
Right. Folks in Wisconsin, given the state of politics here, might be surprised to learn that we've had very many bipartisan wins here. And in recent years, but we actually have, and we have for a while. It's not as many as we would like to see, but we do have some areas where folks are able to get together and say, hey, you know what? We got to put the politics aside and work together on this because it is incredibly important. And this is one of those areas. And yeah, the article really gets into this, how in northwestern Wisconsin, the issue of flooding really changed the way people were thinking about water in the community. In 10 years, they had 3 catastrophic floods up in northwestern Wisconsin. And that is really causing a lot of damage. More than $41 million across 7 counties just in July of 2016 up in Ashland in that area. So it was, as the article says, more than 10 inches of rain in less than a day. So a month's worth in just 2 hours. So that's obviously not something that communities can withstand without putting some effort into mitigation there. So this is something where state legislators and the governor and the administration were able to come together with local leaders and advocates and say, hey, what are we going to do? And they were able to get together a bill that posed wetlands as a solution for dealing with these damaging floods, which was a really great natural solution to come up with and create a grant program for communities to understand why and where they flood and how they could restore wetlands in the areas that would need the help.
And of those, the article goes on to say 23 communities applied for the first round of grant funding, some to assess the flood risk, others to help build new wetlands. And the article talks about, again, the bipartisan nature of putting this grant program into place and that it can be a model in the rest of the country. And that's the part that really hit me, Melissa, because it was, now we're going back 20 years, which feels a little weird, but in getting set for my first run for the legislature, one of the things that motivated me was the way that developers and their Republican allies in the legislature were looking to target wetlands protection. And they loved to mock the idea that wetlands are quote unquote navigable waters. And they'd all the time talk about these culverts or these ditches, and they would want to put a canoe in there, which was dry most of the time, and mock the idea that was a navigable waterway. But what folks were trying to explain to them at the time was a wetland isn't supposed to be wet all the time. It can be, but it doesn't have to be. That the wetland is essentially nature's sponge. And when you have a changing climate with more of these torrential downfalls than ever before, now folks, 20 years later, from both sides of the aisle, see the need. And I'm trying not to make this an I told you so moment. I'm trying to express it as this is great progress in more people understanding the value of wetlands and that they're not just swamps to be filled in so you can put up another strip mall. And I know that there are still some places in northern Wisconsin where people are drooling at the prospect of filling in more of these and putting in a golf course or a parking lot or whatever. But what a refreshing story to see that in this legislature, still controlled by Republicans, you do see a greater number of people who say, this is one of the ways you prevent flash flooding around our state.
Yeah, I think that's right. And I think also I just want to point out, really make the point that we're describing this as bipartisan. And this passed unanimously. This isn't even just, okay, we got a couple crossovers. This is a bill that passed unanimously in the legislature, signed by the governor. So this is something that everyone could agree on, which I think is just really one of those things that's remarkable in our politics these days. I can't imagine that we have even unanimous support for the Packers and the Brewers in the legislature. This is, I think, pretty remarkable and wonderful that we were able to get this done. And I think that
part of the reason for that, though, now as I think about it, part of the reason for that is that this is a carrot. And if you ever want to see the fissures open up again, just have the stick, meaning the regulations. Mm-hmm. You can't do this with that land. Now, if you suddenly attach some grant money to it to help people with their land and protect a wetland, then you're more likely to get bipartisan support. Does that mean that's always the right approach? I, of course, would say no, that sometimes you have to have regulations to protect things, whether there is money attached or not.
But I think that this, though, has been a very positive result so far. And I also think that because this was such a bipartisan process and program, one other thing I think is important here is that the advocate and stakeholder voices were really heard by everybody, because I know that's something that, you know, too often when the experts come out to talk about what's happening, if the different sides have made up their mind, they might not really hear folks out. And because this is something that had a lot of support, it seems like the advocates and the experts and the stakeholders really had an opportunity to make their voices heard and an opportunity for a lot of education to help them really understand what's at stake and just to really start thinking about what those nature-based solutions are, because we know that those have been gaining popularity and that to think that what we've done here could really be a national model for other communities, which is a really thing.
It is. And when you mention those stakeholders, it's not just the ones you would expect, like fishing and recreation, but shipping as well, because they see wetlands as part of the infrastructure. And if the wetlands are soaking up more of those floodwaters, then they're not flooding to a greater extent the rivers and the canals that would impact shipping. Again, I just wish I could go back 25 years and play this segment back to folks and say, see, hold out hope. Things get better as people learn more about the importance of taking care of the environment where they are and the climate where they are. They can mitigate some of these things that come with a changing climate.
Right. So water's got to go somewhere. And better it go right into these wetlands, like you said, that sponge, than into a home, into a building where it's going to do damage.
Yeah. Now, getting back to what the Trump administration is doing and getting rid of so many valuable people who were doing so many good things. And it's just a real tragedy to see what it's doing to our federal energy policy. It is interesting to see the national story about the way that all kinds of folks are trying to make the case to the Trump White House and to Congress not to cut some of these jobs, because don't target them as part of new energy. Save them because they help with energy dominance, which is what President Trump is always talking about. And I hope it works, but I just think it's funny how you have to sell this in just the right way instead of doing the right thing for the climate, instead of doing the right thing for a new generation of jobs. You have to sell it as American energy dominance in order to protect some of these positions and programs. I guess that's just the state of the political world in the age of Trump.
Yeah, I mean, as a mom, it almost feels when you're trying to trick a toddler into taking their medicine when they're sick, and you'll do whatever you need to do to get them to, and say what you need to say to get them to do what they need to do. So I appreciate if there are different arguments that folks might take to appeal to this president, because we know he is not motivated by doing what's right for our country, for our people, for clean energy, for our future. But we know he's motivated by his ego. And if by maybe playing to his ego and saying, hey, we can't accomplish your goal of energy dominance without hanging on to these jobs, if that allows us to keep them and be able to maintain these scientists and researchers that the states and local communities and nonprofits really rely on, that data coming out of the EPA and other federal organizations, that would be huge. And if Donald Trump thinks it's a win for him, great. He can think he won, because it's energy dominance jobs, not climate change jobs. He can call them whatever they want, whatever he wants.
It reminds me when you mention parents and having to trick your kids, our favorite story, and it feels like everybody's got one of these. Our girls would not eat pork chops. They said, no, we don't like pork chops. Pork chops are icky. So we put them in the crock pot and covered them in barbecue sauce and served them up. And they're like, are these pork chops? And we're like, no, they're ribs. They're barbecue ribs. And they were like, oh, I like ribs. That worked for a year until they were grown up. And we're like, those were pork chops, right? And they're like, no, we didn't know that. And it felt like that all through Trump's term, that every so often they had to play this game with him. And now we're doing it to protect some of our clean energy jobs of the future. But I guess if that's what it takes, hey, they're ribs.
When I remember when my niece was little, she tried garbanzo beans and said she didn't like them because they were beans. And then the next time my sister gave them to her, she told her they were chickpeas, and she said she loved them because she loved peas. And reader, they are the same thing, in case you don't know. Yes.
This is where we are these days, which is both hilarious and tragic all at the same time. So just very quickly then, talking about the jobs that are being lost anyway, I know we've mentioned this once before, but still going on is Governor Evers' effort to help some of those federal workers find new work around Wisconsin, because state governments, Wisconsin included, are going through a workforce shortage just so many other places. So there have been all these virtual job fairs that the governor's office and others have helped put together. The second to last one was yesterday, and the last one is today from 10 a.m. to noon for people interested in maintenance and mechanical fields, and from 1 to 3 this afternoon for people in the finance, accounting, and related services sector. So again, Melissa, for anybody that's been laid off from the federal government, they may want to go to the State Department of Workforce Development website to find out where some of their next steps would be. And that's a pretty nice feather in the cap of the Evers team for thinking about that and saying, hey, if you're not going to keep these valuable people, they can come work for us.
Absolutely. There are great opportunities in the state workforce. And I think it's fantastic that the governor and Secretary Amy Bahacek over at DWD have thought through this really carefully and are so connected to our large and small employers around the state and thinking about how we can get folks plugged into jobs in state government as well as in other, as in jobs in the state of Wisconsin, even if they're not working for the state of Wisconsin, but help them find jobs in Wisconsin in great companies here. So I think that it is incredibly tragic that we are seeing these federal workers laid off and losing their jobs. But if there is maybe one small silver lining, is that I hope that they find really great opportunities either with the state of Wisconsin, possibly in municipal government, or with wonderful Wisconsin companies. So I'm wishing all of the best to folks that have, through no fault of their own, found themselves on the job hunt, and hope they end up in an even better situation than they had been in.
And by the way, again, that's the Department of Workforce Development, or DWD. So all you got to do is go to dwd.wisconsin.gov. And right there about halfway down the homepage, it says Federal Workers, Wisconsin Wants You. Click on that and you'll learn some more information. Melissa Baldoff, thanks so much for all the updates on our climate and politics and much more. Have a great day. We'll talk to you later.
Bye. Thanks.
All right, coming up next is Melissa Kay. See, we get Melissa Baldop, then Melissa. It's Melissa Kay. Trust me. History lessons up next. You're up north.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
This is really throwing people off. They're like, wait a minute, don't you normally start this segment with some moldy oldie like from Pat Boone or the Andrews Sisters or something from the psychedelic 60s? We can shake it up a little. We can start with Soul Asylum.
Heck yeah.
Because it's Dave Perner's birthday. He is 61 years old today. Born in Green Bay 61 years ago today. Attended high school in the Twin Cities where he and three others formed a band while still in high school. And their hit Runaway Train won the Grammy for Best Rock Song of 1993.
Can I give you a wonderful piece of trivia about this song?
Yes.
The accompanying video featured throughout the entirety children who had run away and were thought to be lost. It helped locate a lot of children.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Awesome.
I get a little worked up, emotional when I think about that. It was beautiful.
Yes.
Video.
Yeah. It was a beautiful public service. The more pleasant of the three voices you're hearing right now belongs to Melissa Kay from WFHR and WIRI.
Ouch.
Joins us on Wednesdays.
I don't have a robot voice, though. I'm not as cool as Greg.
No, but that's...
I don't know what you are talking about.
He loves his little synthesizer that we play with during the commercial breaks here. How go things for the big play? Noises Off, coming soon.
We're doing great. We're doing... we've got costumes going this week. We got pants dropping everywhere.
I'm sorry?
It's part of the show.
Oh, okay. All right.
Yep. The set is doing fantastic. Tonight is our first night with our crew that will be doing the actual moving of, big, large items. So I'm excited. It's going great. My cast is doing fantastic. I had to yell at them last night, and then they rose to the challenge.
Ooh, whoa. Very nice.
I never want to be yelled. It's when people are very, very pleasant all the time. It's like, I don't want them to ever be mad at me.
I wasn't mad at them. I just spoke sternly. I used my teacher voice.
And again, to learn more about the play coming up in just a couple of weeks here, go to wrctheater.org.
Theater.
Wisconsin Rapids Community Theater with T-R-E, that kind of spelling.
We're
of
going to the theater. Yep.
wctheater.com. And by the way, if you can't support Melissa by going to see her show, there is a donate button there. Show some love to Melissa and donate to the Wisconsin Rapids Community Theater.
There you go.
Again, wrctheater.org.
We have a lot of like kid shows coming up this summer too, because that's something that we do every summer, which is awesome.
All right. Okay, now we can go back and do some of the classics, because the Rolling Stones put out a song this day in 1971. Brown Sugar was the first song that was issued on their own new record label, Rolling Stone Records. Again, this day, 54 years ago. We mentioned that Dusty Springfield was born this day in 1939. Former Brewers third baseman Rich Rollins is 87 years old today. Tejano singer Selena was born this day in 1971. Was murdered back in 1995, taken way too soon.
Yeah.
Birthday today, the late Jerry Rafferty was born this day in 1947. Jerry Rafferty passed away in 2011, but you know him from that song, Get It Right Next Time. Baker Street was probably his biggest solo hit, along with Right Down the Line. And he was part of the group Steeler's Wheel, and he was the singer for that Stuck in the Middle with You. Clowns to the left of me, jokers to the right.
Oh.
Yeah.
I know that one.
I love composer, Bob Dylan.
No. Composer Henry Mancini was born this day back in 1924. He gave us the Pink Panther theme, Peter Gunn. I mean, dozens of movies, TV themes, you name it. We'll play something that you still hear on TV today occasionally from Henry Mancini coming up later this morning. Bobby Vinton. Remember Bobby Vinton by any chance, Melissa? Oh, no, we're going way back then. He's 90 years old today. He was quite the crooner from the 50s and 60s. Happy 78th birthday to basketball legend Kareem Abdul-Jabbar. Depending on your point of view, he's a legend from the NBA or from movies like this one in Airplane.
I think you're the greatest, but my dad says you don't work hard enough on defense. And he says that lots of times you don't even run down court. And that you don't really try, except during the playoffs.
The hell I don't.
I like how he looks around.
Yep. Listen, kid, I've been hearing that crap ever since I was at UCLA. I'm out there busting my buns every night. Tell your old man to drag Walton and Lanier up and down the court for 48 minutes.
just one of the all-time best clips when you can get a sports superstar to do that. And like we've said, we're going to talk again about Hundreds of Beavers, the movie coming up tomorrow. We need more slapstick. We just need more goofiness in our movies.
Guess what? They came out with, they're remaking The Naked Gun, and I'm on it. I'm on board. Liam Neeson is playing Frank Drebin Jr.
No.
And it looks to be in the same, no winking at the camera, tongue-in-cheek, yep, real American spoof film. I'm excited.
I'm here for it. Yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Maybe they could put up a screen at the Wisconsin Rapids Community Theater and we could all see it together. Let's there work on that. All right. Finally, I got to put a little 70s schmaltz in here. The late David Soul from Starsky and Hutch, action actor, also had this song go to number one this day in 1977.
Oh, wow. Boy. Okay.
Yeah.
You weren't lying when you said schmaltz.
Chance the Rapper is 31. Would like to hear him do this song. This is National Librarian Day, National Banana Day, and National Wear Your Pajamas to Work Day.
Done.
No. That's really not appropriate. Melissa.
Shirt. Come on. Yes.
The always wonderfully Natalie dressed, not in PJs ever, Melissa Kay. Thank you so much. Always
absolutely
great to see you.
If you want to see slapstick, come to the theater.
The theater, wrctheater.org.
Yes.
All right. Thank you. Coming up in our next hour, more about some of the grassroots groups lobbying to get their priorities in the next Wisconsin state budget. This is Up North News Radio on the Civic Media Radio Network.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.